All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am joined again by James Murphy. James, how are you?
I'm great, Brendan. Happy Easter. We can still say that for today.
Yeah, sure. Happy Easter, man. I had a good Easter. I hope you did too. I hope everybody that's listening had a good Easter.
I'm confident that a lot of the people here did.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Mississippi State baseball fan, you had a complicated Easter because, you know, you lost the series on Friday, Saturday. You get a nice win on Sunday, but kind of irrelevant at that point.
It is, and I feel like we could kind of use this to kind of get into what we were talking about before we went, I guess, on air, to a point you brought up where you don't feel like you're as confident in Mississippi State to get an at-large bid now as you were heading in. Are you able to expand on that for our audience?
Well, I mean, I'm no college baseball bracketologist, but, you know, they were already kind of sneaking in. Like, I think they were in, I think it was D1 Baseball's tournament projection as like a 3 somewhere. And then you go out and lose to a Florida team in the bottom half of the SEC standings at home. Not great.
Very true. Yeah.
So, I mean, as it stands, you know, you're looking at a Mississippi State team that is third from the bottom in the SEC. And really, I would consider that next to last because whatever Missouri is trotting out there on the diamond, I'm not sure I would call it SEC baseball.
Oh, and 18 in conference play. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, when your record is worse than the 2008 Lions, it's bad.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trotting Charlie Brown out there. He's even got the color scheme to match.
Yes, the image of him just going airborne with a baseball just aligning right under him.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball cap just like floating in the air.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so first off, I just want to complain that I'm still recovering from Saturday night, not emotionally or anything. I'm just exhausted. I got home because like the game ended like 11 o'clock or whatever. It was, it was like a 7:30 first pitch and long game, lots of scoring, game didn't end, and then I had to, you know, wrap up afterward, media and all that, and then, you know, drive the 75 minutes home to, you know, from Starkville. And so went to bed on Easter Sunday at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, folks, just to kind of translate what Brendan's saying, I went to Easter Vigil Mass that started at around 8, probably a little bit earlier, just to get the ball rolling. We finished up between 10 and 11. By that time, Mississippi State was still in the 7th inning, and they had started earlier.
I forget when you say Vigil Mass, it's the day before.
Yes.
Right. When you started saying like that, I was thinking like early Sunday morning.
No, Easter Vigil is the night before, and then Easter Sunday is not even 24 hours after.
There you go. There you go. But so, yeah, I had that, and then obviously I had to get up for church on Sunday. So I'm still tired. I think I got like 5.5 hours of sleep on Sunday. It wasn't Saturday night. I went to bed when it was Sunday morning. So, but anyway, small complaints and all that. So forgive me if I'm a little low energy today.
First world problems.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So I think you had a little bit of a better time, or at least you didn't feel the looming threat of, oh my God, I have to get back home at some point.
No. Friday. No, I did not feel that. I didn't have to get up for anything as early the next day, although I did have a game at noon the next day, which, granted, wrapped up pretty quickly. But, yeah, there was not quite as much of a looming threat. It puzzling as it let's use the word puzzling. As puzzling as it was to watch, especially in that 1/6 inning, it was more of a kind of straightforward game.
Yeah, Saturday's was a little bit more of a back and forth affair. But yeah, I agree that what happened Friday just like simply can't happen.
You throw out your best pitcher who had given up one run in SEC games all season, and he gave up, what was it, four or five?
I think it was six.
Six runs, and he was only and the one he wasn't responsible for was the one guy who hit the home run to basically put the exclamation point on it all. Pretty, I think Lemona said during the after the game, it was like he threw strikes almost really to his detriment because they were all straight down the middle. There wasn't a ton of movement. There wasn't a ton of deception. It just was right down the middle every single time. And Florida picked up on that really easily.
Yeah, it just, I can't believe. I mean, I feel like the odds of throwing two of your best relievers on like back-to-back days and both of them getting no outs and giving up six earned runs each, not combined, each on back-to-back days, no outs recorded. It's got to be really, really small.
It is. And now, when Lemonis came out after Friday's game, he was talking about how, oh, there was a play made in the fifth inning that wasn't made that he wishes was, because it would have gotten Pico Khan out of the inning a lot faster, and his pitch count wouldn't have been as high, and they would have tried to get him out in the sixth, which is fair. But also, when you go to Stone Simmons with the way he's been pitching, you expect him to be what Stone Simmons has been, especially against Florida. And the fact that he was not that is pretty wild.
Yeah, Florida's been a weird team this year. They started, I think, 0-8 in conference play and have really started to piece it together over the last like couple weeks. But I think they're like undefeated since the basketball team won the national championship. It's very strange. Or as they call it around here, science,
mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, it's just, I can't explain it. I mean, how do you go from a close game to getting run ruled at home in a series that you really need to take care of business? Like, it just boggles the mind.
It is, and I think even more puzzling was the way the offense came out later on, because the second that they lost the lead, you could see in the hitters that they just kind of, it left them very, very dejected, and they were just having a hard time getting something, stringing something together, just because they were just bummed out about it. I mean, they were swinging at bad pitches, they were just not putting up together at-bats that were not competitive at all, and they just looked broken after that. To me, that was the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's issues this year have mostly been on the pitching side of things. They've dealt with injuries and, you know, some guys just not quite developing and all that. So I'm not really surprised at how well Florida hit against Mississippi State this weekend. But it was just, I mean, that's Friday, Saturday. It's two games. I mean, that, you know, you could have at least controlled and come out with a win, and instead just bottom fell out both nights.
Yeah, pretty wild. And, yeah, it's against – now. It's one of those situations that we had talked about this with the men's basketball team, oddly enough, where you build momentum, you get people reasonably believing that they're turning things around, and then, as you said, the bottom falls out. In this case scenario, it's two wins, series wins against SEC teams. You beat South Carolina at home. You go on the road and beat a top 20 team at Alabama 2 out of 3. You look fantastic in midweek wins. One on the road, one at home, and you have people thinking, okay, now they have a couple of series at home. Most of the toughest teams are behind them. Maybe now they can finish strong, and they just don't. And they lose like this, to add on to it.
Yeah, I feel like I have been in attendance for like all of the most depressing games this weekend, or this season, or at least all the most depressing home games. Because I was there for the Texas doubleheader to complete a sweep to start FCC play. I was there for that horrible, awful South Carolina game where they got shut out for 8 straight innings before, you know, bouncing back and taking that series. And then I was there Saturday night where they clinched losing the series by getting just pummeled in the last, you know, like 3 innings there or whatever it was. It's rough. It's rough to watch.
It is. And again, a lot of it is the mental side, because the second that they got down and they had an inkling that it might be over, they just did not respond to adversity at all. And I think if you're a Mississippi State fan, it has you very upset. And I think that's where a lot of the criticism of Chris Lemonis comes from. The fact that the second they take that kind of punch, they just kind of go into the corner and stay there.
Yeah, I think, State is just such a weird team. Like, for the most part, like, the losses haven't been, like, that bad. The run rule is tough. But, I mean, we're talking about how bad of a loss it was on Saturday. It was by 3 runs, right? In grand scheme of things, not that bad. But we're talking about a team that is 6-12 in conference play right now. Like, in a league where pretty much everybody is right around 500 or a little above, 6-12 is tough.
Very tough. And a lot of you look at a lot of the stats that they have, and it's pretty impressive. Like, the pitching staff in general is good. The hitting has the capability to be very good. It's just a matter of when one thing's working, the other thing isn't. And when the other thing's working, the one thing isn't. And it's just getting things to getting enough to click at once. And they just haven't been able to do that for 9 innings enough times.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the conclusion I've come to, is that, you know, the hitting and the pitching are never trending in the same direction. When they do, it's both down.
Yeah, and it's usually the end of the game. And but again, there's just not a ton of fight left.
I mean, the State's offense can be frustrating at times because it seems like they have the pieces. I mean, I have to plug Noah Sullivan, the story I wrote on him, but he's been legitimately just a really, really good hitter for them all year. You know, I mean, you look around through the order and guys like Garrick Fry, you know, like, Reed Stallman's had his moments. Ace Reese is, you know, like, there are pieces there. It just doesn't, you know, it's just never consistent. But, you know, you're sort of just left to pick up the pieces at this point, because there's not much else you can do. I mean, at a certain point, you're just a bad team. But, I mean, like, I was looking through, you know, Baseball Reference has, like, sortable team stat tables. And so I'm looking at the SEC and I'm trying to find, okay, what is State really bad at? The answer is nothing, right? They are a middle of the road hitting team. They are a middle of the road pitching team. And they somehow just find ways to lose games. I mean, like, it's crazy, man. I don't understand it.
Well, a lot of the lack of success is also just situational, you know, runners in scoring position, late in games, 2 outs, high leverage, what have you. That's really what the biggest thing comes. That's really what a lot of it comes down to, when both of your stats on, you know, both hitting and pitching are middle of the road. It just comes down to, okay, when you're in the clutch, how do you do? And the answer is not really good most of the time. And we've seen it unfold many times in person.
Yeah. For instance, Mississippi State led 2-1 after 1 on Saturday. Had the bases loaded with no outs in the bottom of the second. Chance to blow the game wide open. Nothing out of it. Nothing. At the point this out, because I always like doing it. That is what some folks online refer to it as. A noble tiger.
A noble tiger.
No outs, bases loaded, ending with team incapable of getting easy run.
I like that. You might have mentioned that to me last year, by the way.
It's, yeah, thank you. There are a few of those. Like a fart slam is a oh gosh, fielder allows run to score like a moron. You know, there are a couple of those. or a Toot Bland is a thrown out on the base paths like a nincompoop. You know, it's just, I don't know, fun stuff. But I saw that happen, and I was doing the like Leo DiCaprio meme. It's like, you know, yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I had to point it out. It was a noble tiger. I saw one live in the flesh. But yeah, you know, that sort of thing can't happen. And then the next thing you know, it's, you know, 2-2 or whatever. So it's just, it's rough. By the way, I saw, on Friday, I think, State allowed a home run to bounce off the left field loft.
That checks out, because I think it was like, at the very least, it had cleared several rows. I didn't look enough to see if it had hit like the loft, but because I had like gone back to my laptop, because it was one of those things where right off the bat you knew it was gone. So the second I saw that, I looked down at my laptop to fire the tweet out and then look back at the field. But yeah, that doesn't shock me.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. At a certain point, you just have to find a way to win games. Like, we can talk about how unlucky State has been to like lose every like close game it's played this year. But like, at a certain point, you just have to do it.
Yeah, that's all it really comes down to. And look, maybe if you pick up a win against Ole Miss on Tuesday, and I know it might be an uphill battle. It's down in Pearl, down at Trustmark Park. But who knows? Maybe if you're able to get that kind of win against a rival in that standalone game, you see what happens. But yeah, like you said, it just comes down to the simple stuff.
And it's not going to get any easier this weekend because they go to number 11, Auburn. So, you know, have fun with that. And, you know, fortunately, I think they come home to play Kentucky after that. So, you know, you at least have that to look forward to. But, you know, as I've mentioned, being at home doesn't necessarily mean that State has played great baseball.
No, it has not. We have seen that in person. We can attest to it.
But I believe that they are 43rd in RPI right now. So, you know, you compare that to, like, you know, for instance, Florida, right, who had that, you know, pretty brutal start to SEC play. They're up to 23rd.
You know? Really?
State was at 38. They're down to 43rd now. They're in a tough spot. I'm not knowledgeable enough to say that pack it up, season's over, wait around and see what happens and who, but I think that, you know, what happened this weekend could not have happened.
Do I see three SEC teams occupying the top six spots in RPI? Is that not up to date?
You mean top six?
Yes, top six.
Yes. I mean, that probably also does not help in the grand scheme of things that the SEC has just been, you know, unbelievable this year. I mean, you look at the top 10, Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU, Georgia, you know, and then Auburn's just outside of it, you know. But, I mean, that's what it's going to be every year, you know. You know what you're signing up for. And, you know, they're just not rising to the challenge.
No. And, you know, it's one of those, again, it's why the questions about the manager are starting to come up. Because, look, this stand, I know they've only had one, but this is a program that has won a national title pretty recently. And a lot of people thought they were going to build off of it. And it's hard to argue that they have, is the thing. And obviously, you know, it's really hard to just win one, but, you know, with there's enough resources to be able to get something done. And this is just not up to the standard set by Mississippi State baseball.
No, I mean, you look at, you know, previous teams. I mean, even, you know, even previous Chris Lemonis teams, you know, like, they know what the standard is, and they haven't met it. I mean, that's the thing. Are they like straight up bad? No. I think that's probably the most aggravating part, is that they're not bad enough for you to give up on them, or they're not bad enough that, you know, you, that there's a consensus of like, you know, a clear consensus of like, all right, this can't continue on anymore. But, you know, I mean, you can't, you just, especially because this is like, in Mississippi State, this was like the one sport that you knew that you could like look forward to. And it's like, okay, look, we know football is going to be a challenge, right? And, you know, you haven't won an NCAA tournament game in men's basketball in a while.
Since 2008, I believe.
And, you know, like, it's baseball is what you have. And now you don't even have that right now. I mean, it's just, it's tough. But I mean, on the other hand, it's like, you know, of the 650-win seasons, Chris Lemonis has two of them in program history.
He does. But you wonder how much longer he can go without something close to that.
Yeah. I mean, the last one of those was 4 years ago. Right. But I mean, it's, you look at it, and it's like, he was capable of putting it together, and then it just hasn't come together in the last, you know, 4 years. It's a pretty brutal situation, and you can't, you know, you look around and you and I have only been around for a couple of years here, but you know, it's not hard to go to the dude and realize that, you know, this is not run-of-the-mill college baseball experience, right?
It's one of the better ones in the sport.
Right, yeah. And I feel like that's even undercutting it by a lot, right? You can't have that in the crowds that Mississippi State brings in.
10,000 on a weekend per game or something along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they probably outdraw the Marlins on a bad day, right?
yeah, probably.
Bad day for State, I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can't have that program mean that much to people around here and have a team playing this way, right? Like, it's just not the standard. And that's what I mentioned during our, you know, season preview. Like, you know, I feel like for both Mississippi schools this year, it's like, how do we get back to the standard? Well, Ole Miss is getting there. This was a bad weekend for Ole Miss, but they certainly look more on the way to that than State does right now. And yeah, I don't know. Just I'm interested to see what happens, but I mean, it's pretty clear that this is like cannot continue.
It cannot, and they're running out of time to do it. 1 month of regular season ball before the SEC tournament, if I'm correct.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they got to turn the ship around in a hurry. I don't know what the magic number is for, you know, to try to get into the postseason, but I can't imagine that they are near it right now.
Yeah, tough to say.
But, yeah, I mean, anything else that you noticed from your time over there this weekend?
The pizzas was pretty good, but a part of me was wondering if I should have gone for the catfish. I will admit I'm not as familiar with catfish, but I probably should be.
I am surprised that you, as a New Yorker, I'm surprised that you're not more of a like a purist or a snob about pizza.
Well, I have boundaries. I certainly have standards, but I'm willing to like understand things. Like I don't go into Duty Noble expecting John's at Bleecker Street or Grimaldi's, which are iconic names back home for anybody who's curious. But you know, it was good and solid cheese slice, you know, abiding by those Lent and Friday rules. You know, you gotta go, like, you gotta be flexible. Also, like, the other thing is I haven't spent quite as much time in New York to be as snobby as what you probably think a lot of people are about New York, which is what they are. But again, like, I've spent time in other parts of the country, and I'm like, you know what? This doesn't have to knock me out of the park. It just needs to taste decent and not make me sick.
Yeah, you know, I kind of forgot about the whole Lent thing. So I was. That's why I kind of raised an eyebrow when you were like, "Yeah, you know, I had the pizza there and it was fine." I'm like, "Why?"
Usually, I would get a bulldog burger, which also is pretty good. It's not bad.
Yeah, fair enough. I was like, you know, I feel like that's the last thing I would expect out of you. But also, to be to your credit, you are. I've never really heard the. I feel like I could get a bagel with you, and you wouldn't be unbearable.
Yeah, I'm pretty straightforward on bagels. I like everything once. I like bacon and cheese on everything bagels. I grew up more of a butter guy, but I feel like if I gave cream cheese a shot, I would appreciate it more because I have a more refined palate, which is what cream cheese requires, to be honest. But, well, also, I just haven't had a decent bagel in years.
You ever had the, like, Panera bread, like hazelnut spread?
No.
I'm not really like a Panera person when it comes to like actually going there to get food, but the bagels are pretty solid, and that hazelnut spread is, that is to Panera what the cinnamon butter or whatever it is at Texas Roadhouse is.
Like the sauce is to Cane's.
Sure.
All right, I'll have to keep that in mind.
It's just, I don't know, it's been a while since I've had a Panera bagel, but that's what I think of. But anyway, just to sort of bring all of this back together. Yeah, I don't know. Rough weekend. The feeling post game on Saturday was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I imagine. The press conference was pretty short on Friday. I can't imagine it was much better when you were there.
Yeah, no, it was. It's always tough when you get the player in there after a loss, and it's just. You know, they know the situation.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Not great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you can say, hey, they avoided the sweep, but it just seemed like these were two teams playing for their postseason lives, and Florida had the pretty clear edge.
Yeah, you wonder how much more they wanted it, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I always hate that, because it's like, these guys are all smart enough to know what the situation is, you know. It's just, I don't know, sometimes that you know, sometimes you just lose, but the run rule is bad.
It is, yeah, especially under these circumstances and this late in the year. You don't need that kind of emotional gut punch now.
No.
All times.
No, you don't. Well, on my way home from Starkville, I was wondering if I was going to see, like, you know, because it was Easter Sunday morning. I was wondering if I was going to see just like Jesus walking on the side of the road somewhere between West Point and Tupelo. But, you know. But anyway, I don't know. Anything else that you wanted to add?
To this topic, no. But if there was anything else I could plug, if now's the opportunity.
Yeah, go for it.
Alrighty, you can follow me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media, where I do a lot of live tweeting from games, as well as posting a lot of my articles for games, as well as a couple of feature stories on Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and high school sports. You can find that and more, and links to my work at djournal.com.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. Yeah, you can, you know, follow the journal at djournal sports. All of our coverage is at djournal.com. I think we're good here. You good?
That's all, folks.
All right. Thank you all for listening to this one, and have a good one.